outside the doorway. Use it only in emergency. Better you should pray to God, the Father and the Spirit will guide you and protect you from up here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me calling you? Can you hear me? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me calling you?
Well, it's Friday. Usually these things happen on Monday, but it's Friday, my favorite day of the week. Good afternoon and welcome, my friends. Trust this finds you well on the first day of June. This is The Flip Side, brought to you by Patriot Trading Group. Our toll-free number is 1-800-691-7898. The web address, republictradinggroup.net. You know, I've had this song in my head. You know, you get these songs in your head, you can never get rid of it. The whole week, every time I watch what's going on with the Dow, I have this song in my head. It's the Oscar Mayer song. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Well, there was a lot of hand clapping going on this Friday, the first day of June. Wall Street carved out a solid advance today after data on job creation, manufacturing, and inflation injected the market with renewed confidence about the economy and set major indexes to record closes. As a matter of fact, my friends, today was so unusual you would have been hard-pressed to find anything that was in the red. Zero, nada, zilch. How's that possible? Dow Jones Industrial closed the week up 40 points at 13,668. NASDAQ up 9 at 2,613. S&P 500, new record, up 5, almost 6 points at 1,536. And as I said, Everything was in the green today. I don't care what it was. Gold? Yes, of course it was in the green. Up $10 at $672.10. Silver up 32 cents. Big winner on the day. Closing at $13.73. Platinum up $10 at $1,297. Palladium up $3 at $379. As I said, everything was in the green. Crude oil? Yes, crude oil was up 82 cents. Crude closed at $64.83. The U.S. dollar? Yes, it too was strong by 4 basis points. U.S. dollar index closed at 82.29. So you got the Dow up, you got the NASDAQ up, you got the Russell up, you got the NYSE up, you got the TSX up, you got the U.S. dollar index up, you got the crude oil up, you've got gasoline futures higher, you've got gold, silver, platinum, palladium. What is going on? Only explanation? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. For the week, gold closed at 670.60, as we mentioned. Percentage gain on gold for the week, 2.4%. Silver gained 6.12%. Not a bad showing in light of the fact that many analysts were thinking, well, it could be a bad week for gold. Ended up turning out to be a good week for gold. Next week, we can expect a light calendar as far as information's concerned. Let's see. Monday, we have factory orders. Productivity comes out on Wednesday. It's always interesting. Productivity figures are always high. Why? Well, less people are doing the same work as many more people who unfortunately have been laid off. Wednesday, initial jobless claims, wholesale inventories, and consumer credit comes out on Thursday, and the big number, if there's one next week, will be, trade balance, comes out on Friday. As we mentioned, gold was a big winner today. Why? Well, gold in New York, according to analysts, rose the most in 3 months on speculation that central banks will slow the metal sales after the European Central Bank said it had no plans to sell more bullion through September. Needless to say, silver jumped 2 cents, 2%, I should say, on that rather bullish note. And as for the bad news, one could call it bad news, is unfortunately those declining gasoline prices we saw this week, well, they pretty much are going to be gone by Monday. Gasoline and oil futures jumped today on continued concern that domestic refineries aren't producing enough gas to meet peak summer driving demands. The market's realizing that we're just not seeing enough of supply being built up, according to Jim Retterbush, president of Retterbush and Associates. Retail prices, on the other hand, retreated further from last week's high. The national average price of a gallon of gasoline fell to $3.18 a gallon, which is down 7 cents from the overnight figures. Gasoline futures for July delivery rose 4.14 cents a gallon to settle at $2.24 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. The increase in gasoline futures prices came despite Thursday's Energy Department inventory report, which showed that gas supplies grew at 1.3 million barrels in the week that ended May the 25th. So there you have it, my friends. Good news and bad news. You can live with either one. What are the experts saying about the action in gold this week? Or today, for that matter? Why did it do what it did? Well, we moved back over, as I've often said, which you could understand, is that a lot of trades are made based on computer-generated trades. One of the big ones that always moves it is whenever, it doesn't matter whether it's gold, any commodity, anything that moves above its 100-day moving average always gives traders a reason to buy. And as I said, with this distinct rally above 100-day moving average and the rally unfolding in the face of mostly minor gains in the U.S. dollar, it would seem like the gold market has adopted a focus other than its recent infatuation with the currency markets. Certainly seeing the U.S. economic outlook brighten by the monthly non-farm payrolls was beneficial to gold, but one might also suspect that the ongoing gains in the Asian and European equity markets gave off the impression of a strong global condition. Now, isn't that interesting that we enter into a strong global position the week before the G8 meeting? I know, it's no coincidence. So there you have it. What are the boys going to be speaking about at the G8? I'll be more interested in what the President and Nathan Sharansky are going to be talking about in Prague. It seems as though the President's, the President's in a bit of a bind. All these key staff members, his loyal bushies, are pretty much abandoning ship on a regular basis. And it's almost sad to watch them leave, as they all say the same thing. I'm going to go spend some more time with the family. Oh, really? I thought it would be prestigious to work in the White House. I mean, think about it. How many people get the shot at working at the White House? But now, all of a sudden, the strains and the stresses of working in the White House seem to be getting to, well, to key people in the Bush administration. There are reports. I don't know how true they are, but they are reports, nevertheless. If they're out there, we report them. And in a moment related by Georgie Ann Gaia, which has caused immense interest on the Internet, she said in a strange behavior of the President, as reported by Georgie Ann Gaia, friends of his from Texas were shocked recently to find him nearly wide-eyed, thumping himself on the chest three times while he repeated, "I am the President." This is disturbing. Today I was listening to the President give a pep rally for his amnesty proposal, and I guess I just committed the racist sin of calling his immigration bill amnesty. According to the President, it seems Americans have to come to grips with the diversity of America. Yeah. The President actually said that today. I'm thinking to myself, America, Mr. President, is diverse. All the figures we're seeing says that one in three Americans is foreign-born. After all, even the host of this show is foreign-born. But he seems to think that America doesn't recognize diversity. And he also mentioned the fact that people who call his immigration bill amnesty, well, you're just racists. Now, I've been called a racist by a lot of people. But to be accused of being a racist by the President of the United States of America, of course you disagree with his policy on immigration, is a bit of a stretch. And obviously brings into question this pounding on his chest, saying, "I am the President." After all, this is a man who has personal conversations with God. And if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will. So what is with this immigration bill? Which, by the way, as much as you hear the rumblings of congressmen and senators getting flooded with phone calls and emails and faxes and even reports saying that the calls are coming 100-1 against the senator or congressman voting for the bill, you have You have a situation that I think, without question, my friends, we are dealing with a bill that's going to pass. Because this is not really anything to do about giving green cards to illegal immigrants. This is about establishing a national identity card. You see, because think about this. On its own, they couldn't sell a national identity card if it was a standalone piece of regulation. This is my own gut feeling. I just think Americans, by their very nature, when they are confronted with your papers, please, would be very reluctant to sign on to a national identification card. But here they will ultimately, with this bill, sign on to a national identification card, thinking all the while that the cards are just for Mexicans. Well, how's an employee to know if you walked across the border? An employee is going to have to verify that you're a legitimate American citizen, which means you're going to have a national identification card. So this immigration bill and the passion that the president is trying to push this, together with all the other players that are trying to push this, and if you look at the list of these people, who they are, Teddy Kennedy, Alberto Gonzalez, Michael Chertoff. I mean, the list is endless of these people who also are in strong favor and support of a North American Union. See, this immigration bill has nothing to do with securing America's borders or granting a path to citizenship for all the illegal aliens. That's the fluff. It's like the Patriot Act. Who can be against the Patriot Act? This is defend America. So we can build this huge bureaucracy called the Department of Homeland Defense to protect America. Make sure that no terrorists can get into America. Except, of course, if you're a Caucasian and you're on the run because you're carrying a weapon of mass destruction within your body, otherwise known as tuberculosis, well, that's a whole different case. Yeah, you can sneak into the country via Canada. Oh, by the way, the Border Patrol agent that allowed the couple to slip back into the land of the free and the home of the brave, their own country. Think about this. These people were trying to sneak into their own country. Anyway, the port agent that missed the sign on his computer screen has been reassigned. Yes, he's going to be going to the green zone in Baghdad. A little punishment for the... And they blame everything on him. Well, it was just simply because the man wasn't paying attention. Didn't Charles Chucky Schumer wants to believe that they haven't received adequate training? It's once again, we're starting to hear the ripples of, we could have stopped it if we just had a little bit more money. What a week. Anyway, more ranting and raving when we return.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Jagged heart. You kissed me and every piece went back in place. Every pain got erased. You held me up to the sunlight. Now it feels like no one ever left me out in the rain. Co-works.
Welcome back, my friend. My apologies for some of the audio problems. It's on my end. Nobody to blame on that but me. Don't ask me what's going on. It's Friday, after all. Now, the thing that I found very interesting about the president, well, disturbing too, is that he says that the grass, the grassroots opposition, whatever that is, the grassroots opposition against his immigration bill, his amnesty bill, is full of empty political rhetoric trying to frighten our citizens. The first thing I said, well, I was listening to this and I'm going, it's the same guy that told us that there was going to be a mushroom crowd in Manhattan. That the reason we're fighting them over there is that we don't have to fight them over here. By the way, 7,000 Iraqis are being given permanent residence in probably Michigan. So we don't even have to wait for them to come here. We're importing them here. We're bringing them over. Apparently these are 7,000 Iraqis that have been helping us over there. But he says that whoever is speaking out about this immigration bill is trying to frighten the citizens. Frighten them about what, Mr. President? Protecting the homeland? Wanting to maintain American sovereignty? Trying to keep the culture, heritage of America alive? Is this fear-mongering, Mr. President? Well, he should understand fear-mongering. After all, he is, without question, together with him and Dick Cheney, the masters of fear. And they weren't even done with it. Memorial Day was a perfect example of where Dick Cheney and George Bush giving their speeches on Memorial Day, which I thought was rather pathetic, rather than remembering those who had fallen, given the ultimate sacrifice, they used Memorial Day as just another event to pitch their misguided foreign policy. So I don't know if I should feel insulted. Well, I got a thick skin. But I think I should be insulted by his statements. And also the statements that somehow if you oppose him, you're a racist. I mean, this is bizarre. Now, in the first place, the establishment tells us bluntly that it's simply impossible to send 11 million law-breaking immigrants back to Mexico or wherever they came from. It's their answer. According to CBS, the bill would give temporary legal status to millions of unlawful immigrants, provided they come forward, paid a fine, underwent criminal background checks to apply for a green card, evidence of legal residency. They would have to pay another fine, learn English, return to their home country, and wait in line. Are you kidding me? I mean, anybody with even a modicum of... Well, we are talking about politicians, after all. The question is... And it just begs a question. Where would these, bearing in mind they are doing jobs that Americans won't do, therefore they are low-paid workers. Where would low-paid workers get the money to pay the fines? And why would they come forward if they don't have the money? And when would they learn English? And how could, this is the big one, how could the U.S. process 11 million criminal background checks if they can't do it right now? And after all that, they have to return to their home country and wait in line anyway. It just defies all logic. I actually heard a guy today who said that processing 11 million illegal immigrants through the system would grind the system to a halt. All of a sudden, I was saying to myself, you know, I remember a conversation I had with a former IRS criminal investigator here in Phoenix. Told you this story. He's now in private practice. He got a conscience. He said to me, he goes, Robbie, these are the facts. If 500,000 people refuse to send in their income taxes, no way the IRS has enough manpower to run after five. It would bring the system to a grinding halt. Anyway, more when we return. And if you want to throw in your 5 cents, feel free. Call in number 800-313-9443. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Why am I so giddy? Because it's a Friday. I don't do anything different on Saturday and Sunday. But anyway, it's Friday. Let's go to the phones. We've got Tom in Pennsylvania. Hey, Tom.
Good evening, Robbie.
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm fine. It's Friday, man. Nothing can go wrong that would upset me.
I have nothing but praise for what you said, and I believe you're accurate. I do think that one of the problems of this amnesty thing, not only amnesty, but illegal aliens. The whole problem is with lawyers, defense lawyers who promote this stuff. And if I am correct in my thinking from what I have read, in the Commonwealth of Virginia in its early days didn't even let lawyers practice.
Yes.
And it seems to me that lawyers are the ones, that cause all the problems in this country. Personally, I'd like to say that to all the lawyers listening out there that I hate every one of them. And I hope they take it to heart, and I have to agree with what the great English writer William Shakespeare said about lawyers. You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
Oh, sure, you can say it. Nobody can arrest you for saying kill all the lawyers.
Tonight.
Yeah. But,
they're the ones that caused it.
Oh, sure, they are. We can put all the ills of the world at the feet of lawyers, which is the reason why there's such a heated debate about the missing 13th Amendment.
The missing 13th Amendment?
Missing 13th Amendment, yes. Yes.
Well, you'll have to enlighten me on that one.
Well, the missing 13th Amendment pretty much outlawed lawyers from assuming any role in government.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yes.
You know, being from Rhodesia, and I refuse to say Zimbabwe.
Yes, I know it's tough.
You're very articulate on the history of this country, and that's good. But I called Senator Bob Casey, who's newly elected to the Senate from Pennsylvania. He ousted Rick Santorum, and I said I didn't vote for you to grant amnesty to illegals. I voted for you to stop it. Well, that's what I told his secretary anyway, and. You know, no comment, of course. I'll pass it on to the senator, of course. And that's about the only thing I got. Great program, Robbie. Thank you.
Thanks, my friend. I get that comment a lot. I regard a country's history as, and this comes from a guy who hated history when I was at school. Geography and history held no magic for me. Well, then again, I suppose it's normal. A lot of people do. But in order to find answers to questions, I started reading a lot of stuff. And American history has to be the most fascinating history of any peoples on the face of the earth. I mean, it reads like a novel. It has everything in it. Good, bad, evil, indifference, struggles, strifes, passions. It's the greatest story that's never been told. Unfortunately, the teaching of American history, in my opinion, the reason why we are suffering scholastically in this country is because history is not taught in this country. Kids of today, there's an old saying, if they don't learn and they can't understand, how do you expect them to defend the Constitution of the United States or the ideals for which the United States were founded? And if the history that they are, the marginal history they are taught, is pretty much denigrating the founding fathers because they were slave owners. It's unfortunate. And learning where they got their influences from. How did Jefferson come up with this? We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Where did he come up with that? How did he come up with it? Was it his original thought? And then you go back and you find that obviously he was a student of history. Besides being a student of history, he spoke four languages. Now I'm waiting for Jefferson's Bible to arrive from Amazon.com. It hasn't arrived yet. I'm a little miffed about that. But he wanted to find out, Jefferson was in quest of answering that all-important question we all ask ourselves at one point in time, what's the meaning of life? And he figured it out, it was in the Bible somewhere. And unlike Schofield, he didn't try and reinterpret the gospel message, he wanted to figure it out. And he pasted pieces together, Greek and Spanish and English and French. So, yeah, I mean, it's an amazing, and it's just so sad. I mean, look what's happened in the last, when was it? You had the geography bee this week, and you had the spelling bee last night. Who won that? Well, this should be a question that everybody should be asking, because they were both homeschoolers that won it. These weren't products of government education. This should be, why? Why is it kids that are homeschooled can achieve this and other people can't? I don't know. It's amazing. Anyway, let's go to Richard in Alabama. Hey, Richard.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
The United Nations is a problem with our immigration. The United Nations has created two definitions of denial of nationality.
Oh, sure they have.
They have forbidden the denial of nationality, meaning they can't throw you out of a country, you know, where you are one of their nationals.
Right.
But they have created two definitions. one definition for the formerly white countries and another definition for the dark countries, like the African countries and India and China and all those. And,
well, they introduced what is called the right of return.
Now, let me go through all this. There are 8 strategies to get into and stay in any of the formerly white countries, but there's only 2 strategies to get into one of the dark countries. You have to either prove you are of the proper race by some means, or prove that your father or his father or their father, you have to prove that your male lineage, it leads back to one of their nationals.
Sure.
But in a formerly white country, you can get in with using maternal descendancy or place of birth or naturalization or protection from discrimination or by marriage, or you can get in with an anchor baby, or it can be a sanctuary, or see, that's 8 ways.
Yeah. Well,
and
look,
all of those strategies will get you into one of the formerly white countries, but the dark countries like Mexico and China, they have race and paternity as a barrier. So you can't get in there unless you're the proper race, and if you're naturalized, you're still just there as essentially a long-term tourist, and they can throw you out anytime they want to. So that...
I mean, as I've often said, we should adopt the Israeli policy.
Well, the Israelis are essentially a dark country. I mean,
yeah, but if America had to adopt the same immigration policies as Israel,
we have to make us bigots.
Well, sure, because then we would limit the people that could immigrate to America to Anglo Caucasian Christians.
Yeah, and that's racist, isn't it? But anyway, the definition created by the United Nations is essentially anti-white.
Oh, sure it is. Of course.
So we have to separate ourselves from the United Nations definition of nationality.
No, what we got to do is we got to dump the United Nations into the East River. I always wonder.
Well, we can't.
Why didn't those guys fly into the UN building?
Oh.
I mean, it's right there. It's actually a bigger target than the World Trade Center.
Oh, we couldn't be that lucky.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Richard.
Mm.
Let's go to Ralph in Oklahoma. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, Robbie. That's off the immediate topic, but just a little earlier you were talking about some of the brilliance of our evil white framers of this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, as they put it, as evil. Anybody that's white's evil. But there was one, I know I've got the paperwork where I got it and who it was. I don't think it was Jefferson, but the article was that as a young man, I can't remember the age, but he was still a teenager, he could read English, a book in English, and with his left hand, he could translate it simultaneously with his the other hand, right hand. One would be left hand, let's say, be in Latin, and the right hand be in Greek. Now that is extreme. I just don't think anybody can do that today.
Oh, look, I mean, it's a fact of life. The founders and the people of their generation all spoke numerous languages. Latin was obviously, look, I believe it or not, when I was going to school in Rhodesia, Latin was a required course. Everybody used to fall asleep in Latin class, but you know, obviously, and it didn't help me when you know, it didn't help me understanding Catholic priests in any way, shape, or form, because in those times, all Catholic services were all done in Latin. There was no English English spoken in Catholic churches. It was all Latin. So
that was, when did that take place? In the late 50s, I think they stopped what they called the Latin Mass.
Yeah, look, everything started falling apart in the 50s. I mean,
was the end of it, and as far as, that's when I graduated high school, and it seemed like everything, the silver went out of our coinage. I can't remember. There's a whole list of things that fell apart.
Yeah, well, you know, that was that was a time when everything was starting to get integrated.
Oh, yeah, Great Society, what came about in 64,
sure.
You might say 63, it was right there on the horizon, thanks to Mr. Johnson.
And unfortunately, integration, and nobody wants to talk about this, because if you talk about integration and you bring out the facts about what integration ultimately did, obviously you are being a racist by pointing out that if you look back at what kids in the 50s, their academic scores and their ability to the three R's, American kids led the world in the 50s. They were number one on everything. But as soon as you force integration, and it's unfortunate, but these are the facts of life. Once they forced integration, well, teachers couldn't have kids learning at the higher level. They had to dumb down the kids in order to meet the slower kids.
That's right. Yeah, they just dropped the top down.
Yeah, very diplomatic way of me saying that.
Yeah.
And you can see the dumbing down starting from the 50s, ultimately to the creation of the Department of Education, and where we find ourselves today. Where this is a sad reality of the H-1B visa program, is the reason why, if you talk to CEOs of companies, why they are wanting more H-1B visas for instance, Indians to come to the United States, is because they are finding it very hard to find qualified Americans with the same mathematical skills as the Indians have at the same age.
That's right.
I mean, this is a sad reality of ultimately what we're dealing with. The unintended consequences, if you will, of a diversified nation.
Yeah, I just talked with the other day with a friend of mine that went to it was two granddaughters' graduations. One was 12th grade in high school. And he couldn't believe it when he got there. He couldn't figure why the younger one that's in kindergarten had to also be there. They had a graduation for kindergarten, and he said that was shocking enough. But when he saw the people that were there, he said it just boggled his mind how people could be so trashy looking and. Nobody had anything on better than a buttoned-up shirt was about that, and he felt so overdressed.
Yeah.
And here's the little small local town of that area. Newspaper man came in there, said he was literally dirty, smelled bad, and he's roaming around through the crowd with his camera and his clipboard.
Yeah.
And he thought, you know, the world has ended as far as he's concerned. Anyway, good talking with you, Robbie.
Thanks, Ralph.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Don in Oregon. Hey, Don.
Hello, Robbie.
Yes, sir.
Greetings, and thank you for all that you're doing.
My pleasure. All I'm doing is reporting the news.
Well, it's a good cause, and it's a good format that you have, and I appreciate it myself.
Thank you.
I was wondering, have you ever read Cloning of the American Mind by B.K. Ekman?
No.
You have not?
Uh-uh.
Of lately, I have been listening to people iterate certain aspects of this issue that you're talking about right now, as far as the dumbing down of the student, the American child. And this book, 600-some-odd pages, explains pretty much the evolution of it via the Tavistock Institute in the early 20s, all the way up through the 40s, when it finally promulgated out through the training modalities that were created via that initiative, which is commonly referred to this day and age as the National Education Association. And
hold your thought there, my friend. We've got a short break. We'll be right back.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into Masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, Clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
Welcome back, my friends, on this Friday. Joining us on the phone is Don in Oregon. Continue your thought, Don.
Well, Mike, all I'm trying to do is, you know, relay to whoever's listening that if they really would like to have an understanding, as I've come to understand it, of this not a dilemma, it's obvious to so many people, but the actual schematic, so to say, the diagrammatic of the evolution of the demise of the national, no, I shouldn't say that, of the American education system. I think this book is probably the preeminent book to use for discovery on the subject. It's replete with quotes of all the various nefarious statements made by these various individuals, as well as, you know, the text is well documented. She was an educator, and, you know, she's from my generation. I'm a child of the 50s.
Sure.
Well, at any rate, I just think it's an excellent book to explain a lot of what I've been listening to on the various programs at Republic Broadcasting for the last couple of months. And it goes quite well. I mean, it makes an excellent segue somewhere around page 300. We're back in the 90s. I think it was 97, 98. She quoted Ron Paul on a stand-up session on the floor where he informed the Congress as it was formed right then to the demise of the education system and pinpointed exactly where the problems went wrong. And he, you know, with his voting record being what it is, and I applaud that, he was totally ignored.
Oh, sure he is.
And you know, yeah, obviously, but I'm just relating to this fact because I haven't found any articles anywhere that are as explicative of what I think is probably one of the best documented books explaining that problem, coupled together with the rest of it. I mean, given the Ponzi finance system that exists at that upper level, it's looking pretty bleak right now.
Well, as soon as they sold us the Ponzi system, they figured out, hey, man, if these guys are going to buy into the fact that we can take their real money and give them worthless paper in return, we can sell them anything.
Yes, the dumbing down of the
What was the name of that book again?
It's The Cloning of the American Mind, Eradicating Morality Through Education by B.K. Ekman, E-A-K-M-A-N. If you want the ISBN, I can give it to you.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. At any rate, it's copyrighted in 98. I found this about 4 years ago when somebody threw it in the garbage can, and, you know, that piqued my, just the word cloning of the American mind piqued my interest. And
yes.
I dug it out, and when I got through reading it about 2 weeks later, I thought, you know, whoever threw that away was obviously somebody that was, you know, has been victim of that very issue. So.
Oh, sure, and then you bring this up to people, they in denial.
Yep. All right, no. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Don. Well, my friends, it's been a fun week. And I'm sure next week's going to be just as much fun as this one. And if you are happy, clap your hands. Till Monday, have yourself a great weekend. See you, bye.
It's true. Gold.